by practicing, you're going to get better. And the main thing is to be passionate what you're doing. If you're doing it just for the sake of it, then you're probably going to burn out and it won't work. But if you love what you're doing, then that will drive you to succeed at it.
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
Hello and welcome back to the podcast on podcasting. It's your friend, Adam, AAA Adams. And we're actually going to be sharing some information from someone in the UK, which is kind of fun. I love the accent for sure. And we're going to be talking, he's a marketing expert and he started a podcast called Insight into Success. And so we're going to understand why did he start that? What was he thinking when he started the podcast and kind of the direction of the show? He's actually 35 episodes in as we're recording. And so it's a weekly publishing podcast. Just to let you know, like as a marketing expert, his company is Making Sense of Marketing. And so you can find that at MS for Making Sense of Marketing, msofmarketing.com. And that'll help you to be able to find it. But I'll just make sure that not just the podcast link, but also his website is in the show notes. In case you want to connect with Paul, check out his podcast or hire him as a marketing expert as well. So anyway, Paul, what's going on, man? How long have you been from the UK? It's really cool to hear your accent.
Yeah, well, I'm going to pick you up on that. I'm actually in New Zealand, which,
yeah,
to be fair, we're a colony of the UK. We, our heritage is from the UK, so I definitely appreciate the difference.
So I will say this first and foremost, before you go too far, is I'd served for 2 years in Los Angeles as a missionary, and two of my companions, that's the guy that you're put with, were from New Zealand. So Il de Hol and El Savea from, he was on the All Blacks. But at any rate, I knew it was New Zealand, but you've been saying UK this whole time. So I just went ahead and said that.
I have. And then I've confused you because we're talking about a guest I had who's from the UK. So I totally understand it. And honestly, if you were to do something, you're better to say that than to say that I was an Australian. I might be a little more upset if you said that.
No.
Not that there's anything against Australians, but just they were colonized originally by convicts. It was actually a criminal or sort of a penal colony, whereas we were colonized by fair-paying passengers from the UK. So we see that as an important difference between the two countries.
I love it. Yeah, and you better not say Australian to a New Zealander, that's for sure. Kiwis don't like that. Well, hey, I want to jump in and just talk about like your experience with your podcast. Like it's 35 episodes in as we're recording, and there had to be a reason for starting it. I mean, you are a marketing person. That's what you do for other people. You help them to be able to market. But why would you start a show? Like, does that help your business? Does that hinder your business? What was kind of the reasons behind it?
Well, there's a little bit of a story. So originally I decided I was getting frustrated that a lot of small businesses out there are getting confused with the content online for marketing because you go, you know, the internet's great, but there's so much content in so many different directions and a lot of it can be contradictory. And you're like, well, what do I believe? So what I wanted to do is create a website where people could go to and trust the content and get a lot of what they want in the same location. So that was the initial idea. And I started to build the content and build the website. And then part of that, I thought, be quite cool to go around and do a podcast slash video talking to people about their marketing. And the name of the website's Making Sense of Marketing. So I thought I could do these interviews with the theme of marketing and talking to some really interesting businesses in New Zealand, but I ideally wanted to ultimately be around the world, go talk to some cool people about some really interesting marketing they're doing and put it as a YouTube video and also as a podcast. So that was kind of the very origin of the whole concept. And of course, we've had COVID has happened during the year as well, which has complicated that. But soon on with that, I also kind of like, I like meeting people and I like learning from people. And again, thinking about small businesses, aside from the marketing, the whole concept of, well, how do people become successful? Is there a difference between those that succeed and those that don't? So I thought, well, maybe I broaden this whole concept and I have my Making Sense of Marketing component, but I also broaden it and look at insights into success. What is it that's behind why some people succeed and others don't? So ended up going from Making Sense of Marketing theme to actually really now having three themes. So I've got Making Sense of Marketing. I've also got Insights into Success. And the third one, which is just a little short podcast that I do is called Read to Succeed. And that came through from the thought that I like reading, and I think reading is a great way to upskill ourselves. And we can learn so much from other people. And I thought, well, maybe some of these people that I'll interview might be readers. They may not be, but if they are, maybe they'll be willing to share some of the books that they've read. And if nothing else, I'm going to get ideas for books that I can read in the future. But hopefully people that listen to my podcast can get inspiration for books that they could read to help fast track them on their journey to success. So I've ended up now effectively with one podcast, but I've got three different themes going on within it. Where that journey is going to go, I'm not quite sure. And whether I'm doing the right thing, having it all in the one umbrella, I don't know. Time will tell. But I didn't start this out as a pure marketing exercise. I want to be clear on that. I mean, I did think from the point of view of the making sense of marketing, that would be cool to give people inspiration. My father was a teacher. My sister's a teacher. I went to university. Education's been an important factor in my life, and I love learning. So it was really more just that I wanted to learn because I don't know everything. And hopefully people that listen will learn too. And I really want to encourage people to be creative with their marketing. And I feel that small businesses often can be very insular in their approach and they need to break out of that. Instead of copying what everyone else does, how about doing something a bit different? So I've done it really from an educational point of view. Yeah, hopefully some point in the future, there will be a benefit for me that people will like what I say and want to come and support me and maybe engage my services and my team services. But first and foremost, it's just about educating and providing people with some hopefully good quality content online.
So I'm kind of hearing five like reasons why you started the podcast, and they seem to be all like really good reasons. I'm curious if you could maybe put them in order now that we've heard all of them. One of them was basically just connecting with others, like making those networking. The networking would be like my word for that. The second one I'll say is having conversations. Like you enjoy the conversation. You have fun doing it. You sound to be like a pretty extroverted person, not so introverted. So you get something out of the conversations. The third would be learning, like yourself gaining more knowledge about the topics that you're doing. The fourth would be leaving a legacy. It sounds like you want to add value to the world and you want to have your legacy there. You want to inspire others, help others while you're also learning yourself. And the fifth was marketing for your company, basically bringing in more clients that would work with you. So if that's right, what order do you think for your purposes, do you think is like, what's the number one reason and down to the number five out of those?
Okay. Well, I think the first two are super easy. So I think the first two would be leaving a legacy and learning. Those two are head and shoulders above everything else. That's the most important thing for me. And then from there, I think connecting with other people, enjoy connecting with other people, then conversations. Definitely the business one would be the last one, absolutely all honesty. And that's just kind of like the bonus. It's the icing on the cake. One thing I do want to touch on, though, you've said, and it's I think it's good to talk about it because I'm aware in terms of your audience, but you said that I'm extroverted, but I don't think that I am.
And I'm wrong. Actually,
no, well, let's all interpretation. But I had an interview with a guy who's a top communicator. That's his specialty. And he referred very quickly on that I'm introverted. And that was his assessment of me. And I, to be honest, don't disagree with that. But this is the interesting thing. And the thing I would like to say to people out there is if you meet me in real life, look, how do I put this in perspective? Like in my relationship, my marriage, my wife is the one that likes the center of attention. I'll be kind of the one quietly in the corner. Doesn't bother me. And I'm happy to go talk to people. I don't have a problem normally to go up and just start talking to people. But I'm definitely not the, hey, I'm the center of the party. I'm the life of the party. I'm Mr. Joker and all that. I'm not that at all. And certainly in my childhood, you'd describe me probably as shy. So look, depending on the circumstance, I can definitely be shy and maybe a bit introverted. I like my own company. I don't need to be around other people to be happy. But when I need to, at times I can come out and maybe portray more that I'm Mr. Extrovert, but I wouldn't say I'm a true extrovert at all. So maybe you're both right, you know, in different circumstances. But and the point for that is that for your people listening that maybe think doing a podcast is that you don't have to be Mr. Big or Mrs. or Ms. Showman or Showperson. You don't have to be this big outgoing person at all. And in fact, doing this might actually help you to become more outgoing it could be really good for you from that point of view. But don't be put off by the fact that you feel that you're naturally quite introverted, because I'd say I'm probably in that category and I'm doing it. So
cool.
You can do it if you really want.
I appreciate you taking the time on that. And yeah, forgive me for misdiagnosing. It sounded like you get a lot out of the connection, and that's probably why I said it. But you also mentioned that you're just fine by yourself, and I couldn't be by myself. I
really
would go crazy. I have to be talking and communicating, and it like feeds me. It makes me more awake, more alive to be with other people. So definitely there could be a difference there for sure. So you said leaving a legacy, adding value to others, and like gaining that knowledge, learning yourself are the main two. In the pre-interview, you had mentioned to me that there was something you wanted to make sure that people knew, not just that you're an introvert and starting a podcast anyway, but there was something about being an expert. Do you mind kind of jumping into that right now? Just kind of your thoughts on why you started a podcast and what you think it means to you?
Yeah. So, I mean, for me with the podcast, the priority for me is quality of content. And we talked about this before. I don't see coming on your podcast about me promoting myself and saying I'm this great guru and everyone should come and listen to me. I see that everything is about the content. The content must come first. So when I'm interviewing people, it's not about promoting them. I want to get to the nuts and bolts on what it is that were the keys to their success, what their challenges were, how they overcome them with marketing, sort of things they have done, what have been their challenges, et cetera. So for me, it's all about quality of content comes first, not about some great big self-promotion. And for me, I guess when I was at school, you know, I was the kid that I would do stuff and then other people would ask me to go and help them. So I would finish, and I was really good at maths. So I would finish, well, you guys call it math, I think, but we call it maths. I would finish my problems and then I'd go help other people. I've just always got a buzz out of helping other people. It's just the way I am. It's probably why my dad was a teacher, because he probably, I'm sure, got the same thing. But the pay scale kind of didn't really appeal to be a teacher. But if finances wasn't a concern, then probably, to be honest, I'd be in a university being a lecturer. That would be probably where I'd be, because I like the academic side of things. So I've always liked learning and I've always liked helping others with their learning. So that has always been a key motivator for me. So for my podcast, that's always been centered to what to doing is that. And then it's like, well, actually it might be quite a good way to promote the business as well, maybe, but it's definitely never, because of my DNA, I can't change my DNA. It's just what motivates me. So
yeah,
where it's come from. But I'm not sure if I really answered that question actually, but...
Well, here's a couple of thoughts. What I'm trying to extract from you, when we start a podcast, do we need to be the expert? And if we're not, it is the wrong thing for us to be able to call a podcast, the podcast on podcasting, the marketing podcast, insights into success. If we're not perfect at that thing, if we're not the top guru, should it mean that we shouldn't even have the show at all?
Yeah. And that is just like one of the preeminent questions that needs to be addressed. It really is. And it's on everyone's minds, I'm sure, most people's minds. And this whole concept of imposter syndrome. Who am I to get up and to do a podcast? I mean, what do I know? There's bound to be people out there that know more than me. And I think any normal human being, balanced human being, is going to think those exact things, those exact thoughts. There wouldn't be too many that have such a high opinion of themselves that they go, well, it's obvious. I am the expert. And I think it's a dangerous thing in life to ever think that you know everything. Life is an ongoing journey. It's an evolution. And if we took that approach, that, well, I'm not really up to it, well, where would we be? And we just need to look at many, many examples in the world where we're talking sportsmen, you know, Michael Jordan or whoever. Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, they didn't get to be such outstanding athletes by just simply turning up. They got there by perfecting their craft, by doing it over and over again. But they started somewhere. They started at ground level and they built up from there. And this is no different. Joe Rogan, when he started his podcast, I haven't seen them, but by all accounts, they're awful. Now he's making a fortune. And that's not to say that should be the motivation either. I'm not getting into that. But just that you've got to start somewhere. And it's only by practicing, practicing, practicing that you get better at something. And I read a great book once, which I think it's called The Winner's Bible, and it talked about how in England they found that there was a group of small villages in the UK where all the top table tennis players were coming out of. And they're like, why is this? Why are they all coming from these two villages? And what they found was there's a guy who's passionate about table tennis and lived in that community. And he was getting children sort of age 10 and younger practicing. So that by the time that they got to sort of age 13 and 14, they had been practicing for literally thousands of hours. And his point was, it isn't because they're naturally more gifted. It's because they practice. They practice, practice, practice. And that one of the absolute keys to sporting success is that practicing. You look at the Williams sisters, Venus and that, they haven't got where they've got to by just rocking up. They did it because their dad got them into playing tennis at a very young age. And by the time they're age 10, 12, they'd done thousands of hours that a lot of other kids hadn't done. And I see this as no different. You've got to start somewhere. Hey, look, you may not be brilliant on day one. Who is? But by practicing, you're going to get better. And the main thing is to be passionate about what you're doing. If you're doing it just for the sake of it, then you're probably going to burn out and it won't work. But if you love what you're doing, then that will drive you to succeed at it. I strongly believe that. And look, I'm not here saying I'm an expert. I'm still early in my journey of podcasting. So don't think that I'm claiming to be a guru because I'm not. I'm speaking as I'm very much in the early stages of my journey. I've been doing this podcast for roughly about a year now. So, and fitting it in with everything else. So I certainly am not the expert, but I do strongly believe that it's only by practice. And hopefully if you listen to my interviews, you'll find that I'm getting better. And the one thing I will say is it's a real challenge. It's not as easy as you might think to interview people. You know, I found what I'd do is I'd have my notes and I'd be all ready for the interview. I'd done all my research and I'd even debrief them and talk basically about the structure of my interview. And we'd get in and I'd have question number one and ask the question number one. Next minute, they're answering questions four and five. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't now go ask those questions because I've already answered them. I'm going to look like a complete twit. So I've now got to rejuggle. And obviously with practice, you get better at that. But in the beginning, it was like, wow, this isn't easy. So I've definitely got a lot more respect for others out there that do it from it. It's definitely a skill, but you only get better at it by practicing. So don't hold back. Honestly, when I look at so many things online, talking about doing different things, is the whole wait till you're perfect and start versus just get out there and do it. I'm very much in the just get out there and do it, because if you wait for 100%, you're going to probably never do it. And if you do, you might have missed your opportunity. So if you can get to kind of 80% when you start or something like that, go for it. And don't worry about the fact it's not perfect. But ultimately, the content, I believe content rules everything. So even if you're not the best at doing the interview, even if your camera work's not brilliant, even if your sound's not brilliant, if your content's good, I believe that will rule over everything else.
Good stuff. Hey, on your podcast, you're interviewing other people. How do you find those guests?
Amazing. I am so blessed. Honestly, so far, touch wood, I have not had a person that I haven't liked.
They say knock on wood in the US. You have to knock on it. You can't just touch it.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll knock on wood now. Yeah. I've been so lucky. Honestly, I really have. And in all honesty, every time I get off an interview, I feel like I'm on a high. I just feel great. It feels amazing. It does feel quite tiring at times because you're like, especially when we're looking at a screen, because I video them and, you know, play them on YouTube as well. It does wear you out because you're staring so, you know, intently at the screen for all that time. And some of my interviews are longer, which I think you want to talk about at some point. But yeah, so I come off often quite, well, not massively tired, but, you know, definitely feeling the effects, but definitely on a high. And been so privileged by the people I've met so far. And even if nobody listens to my podcast, I'm still having a great time. And that's what will drive me to keep doing it, is because I'm just really enjoy doing it. And hopefully other people will listen to my podcast and feel the same way, but I'm getting something out of it. So that's good.
I do want to ask the question again. How do you get those good guests? How do you get the guests? Where do you go to find them? Or what do you say to them?
Yeah, well, okay. So for me, just to kind of put this into perspective, I'm wanting my podcast to be more than just a New Zealand one. Okay. So I'm New Zealand based. I'm proud of that. I want that to be part of it, but I don't want to be seen as just a New Zealand thing. And kind of for a number of reasons. One, because I want to meet people from around the world, because that's really interesting, because people think differently. They're brought up differently, and that's really cool. Different experiences. And also too, I mean, hopefully long term, I can have an audience that transcends boundaries. It's not just here in New Zealand. Hopefully they'll think that, you know, the New Zealand accent's a little bit different, a little bit unique, and maybe that'll be a point of difference so that in the mass market of America, maybe some people go, oh, I actually quite like to listen to a Kiwi accent instead of American accent for a change. Who knows? Yeah, so what I did originally, my first interview, interestingly, our first interview, I managed to get a hold. And what I did was just basically picking out some people in New Zealand that I wanted to talk to and emailing them, having no relationship with them. And I was really lucky that one of the richest men in New Zealand decided that he would talk to me. And so my very first podcast wasn't an easy podcast because he's a private man and he's busy. So he took the interview while he was driving his car. That was the only time I could fit it in. So from a purist point of view, it wasn't the best, but it's like you take what you can get. And this is guys on the rich list in New Zealand and he's prepared to give me some time. So I'm going to take whatever. So that was my first one. And just for the first few, really, I just literally would target people. So I'd pick some names out of my head that people would want to talk to. And then I would try and approach them in one form or another. And I've had plenty of rejections. And it's interesting. I feel that I get a gauge, rightly or wrongly, on the person by their reaction. Like if they say no, if they respond to me and say, look, really sorry, but it's just not my thing. I'm like, cool, totally respect that. The ones that just ignore me in that, I'm like, nah, not so impressed. And maybe I'm being a little bit too judgmental. Maybe they are just simply too busy. But I really respect those, though. And I had this one lady who's a top fashion designer in New Zealand, and she wrote me this big email saying that she wouldn't because she's had a lot of issues with social media and that negativity. And I really respected her for it. And the fact that she took the time, she didn't have to, but she took the time to really explain in detail. It's like, I want to interview her even more now than ever before because that, because I really respect her for that. But anyway, yeah, so I targeted people. And then I've also been on Matchmaker and Podbooker. I listed on that. And over time, I've got more and more people approaching me wanting to be on my podcast. I'm getting it all the time now. But I don't say yes to everybody. I mean, a lot of them, it's all about just wanting to promote their business. And a lot of them are like, they're all consultants. I'm a personal development coach. They're all coaches and that. And I kind of wear a bit thin and all, excuse me, and all that. And I do worry that some of these people may be kind of like telling people to do stuff that they haven't necessarily done themselves. It's kind of like if you go to the gym, if I needed an instructor, I want to go to the guy that's got an awesome physique because he clearly knows what he's doing. I don't want to go to the skinny guy in the corner that maybe he's been to university and done everything, but you haven't done the hard yards in the gym. So I don't know that you really know what you're talking about. So it's kind of a bit like that. I'm a little bit cynical with some of these coaches and that just what are their credentials? Are they genuinely really got what it takes? Or are they just trying to make a buck by, you know, purporting to be what they're not really? So anyway, it's not to say I don't have some of those sort of people, but I get a lot of that and I try and avoid that as much as possible. But I've been very fortunate to have a mix. So at the moment, like I've just interviewed a couple of people from the gaming industry here in New Zealand. That is an esports, as in like, I don't know, any of those sort of online gaming sort of stuff. I've interviewed a few people in that industry, which has been really cool here in New Zealand. And that's just by approaching one. And then they have said, well, why don't you talk to this other person? So that's been really good and really interesting industry, actually, because it's really growing. And in New Zealand, esports is now recognized as a sport, which is, I think, one of the first in the world to do that. But yeah, it's a really now combination of targeting people and also getting approached by people through those two mediums.
A couple of the resources you mentioned, like Podmatch and Podbooker, are just good places. Well, I'll make sure that the links to those are in the show notes as well, in case anybody wants to jump on there. I'm actually pretty sure that's how we met. It's like on Podbooker or something. So
yeah, I think so.
And it was valuable that you mentioned that you don't just let anyone and everyone, and that some of the people that you kind of have to vet them. I am curious, what is your outreach for these people? Like you said, I'm not quoting directly, but it was something like I reach out to them in many different ways, like maybe on social media, maybe their phone number, maybe their email, maybe calling their business and asking for them or whatever it might be. But what are some of the ways that you found really effective if you, like you said, you kind of target the person, you kind of know who you want in general, and then you find a way to reach out to that person. If it's not Podmatch or Podbooker, then you're kind of like targeting this person that you knew. What do you do? Like, what should we do? Do we go on social media? Do we stalk them? Like, do we go in the groups that they're parts of? What's the kind of the way that you found works best?
Yeah, I think the first and foremost has been LinkedIn. So a name would come into my mind for whatever reason and think, okay, so then I'd try and find their profile on LinkedIn. And if they're there, then I would reach out and, generally speaking, ask to join their group. And then after that, send them a message. But some of them I have actually done it directly without actually becoming part of their network first. I've just totally reached out to them and that has worked. I think probably the general recommendation is probably more though that first of all, become part of their community, maybe interact on a few different articles of that, create some sort of credibility and then reach out to them. But I've had success from doing both and I've definitely had some good success just reaching out to them straight up and going, hey, I'm doing this podcast. Love to have you on board and talk to you. People are generally really good. So that has definitely been my number one. The other way I've done it is literally if I've got a name in my head, if they're not on LinkedIn, then I will search them online and see if there's another way. Maybe they've got a website, email them through their website or some other means. Occasionally, there's been ones where I'll ring up and actually talk to the secretary of that and try and organize an interview that way. So, but LinkedIn would be the number one of all those options.
With your episodes, I know we're like 35 episodes in, you're about a year into doing this. Yeah. For the most part, at least recently, I'm seeing that it's like coming out every single week. I'm curious, like, what number of those episodes are you by yourself? And what number of those are you and maybe a co-host? What number of those are you and a guest that you found for the show? What kind of does that percentage look like? Is it all guests?
Yeah, well, it's an easy answer. It's all guests so far. So at this point in my whole journey, every podcast is me interviewing somebody else.
Okay. So no solo episodes, at least so far. How about like the length of the episodes? When I was looking at, there's just the last three that came out, it was like 53 minutes, 10 minutes, 51 minutes. So I'm curious what makes you decide on the length of the episode itself?
Yeah. And look, that's an interesting question. And I'm not going to say that I have the answer for that. And that's something that is a work in progress. And we'll see where that actually takes me. But just in what you've referred to, the read to succeed are typically about 10 minutes. So if you look at the lengths, those short ones that are 10 to 15 minutes, they're all read to succeed. A normal interview would be a lot longer than that. And the read to succeed, I don't feel they need to be any more than that. The whole point with them is just kind of like a bite-sized interview to get some great ideas, some books, hear what the book is, what they said it's about, and what resonated with them. It's kind of the key messages from those. So I don't think we need to labor on that. So that's a deliberate intent to keep those quite short and hopefully punchy.
Are you just interviewing people that read a recent book? Or are you interviewing the authors for the read to succeed?
So far what we're doing is I'm interviewing people for my Insights into Success. And part of the preparation, I'll say to them, hey, are you a reader? And if you are, would you be interested in staying on at the end of the podcast? And we'll do another short podcast, which is just dedicated to talking about some books that you've read at some point in your life. And that they are books that have really resonated with you and you feel that they have really helped you on your journey to success. So that's where that comes from. So not every person I interview is a reader. So not everyone then does the follow-up podcast. But I've done it as a separate podcast because I don't think that everyone necessarily wants to listen to the whole thing. Separate episode.
I don't want the listener to think that you have a second podcast that those are under yet. All three types of interviews are kind of going underneath the same umbrella right now. Right.
It's absolutely correct and a good thing to point out to people. I don't want to confuse people by sloppiness in my description. But yeah, so it's all under the one podcast, but different themed episodes. So we've got the three themes. We've got Read to Succeed, Insights into Success, and Making Sense of Marketing. So yeah, the Read to Succeed, just short bite size. Now, my main podcast theme, Insights into Success, I really don't know what the exact answer is. I haven't done a proper study of this yet. anecdotally, there's sort of two camps out there that I come across. One is I will listen to however long it is. If the content's great, I don't care. And if I have to go off and do something else, I can always come back to it. So make it whatever length it needs to be. There's that camp. And then there's the other camp is, it should only be no more than, say, 45 minutes, because that's a good time for when you're driving in the car, et cetera. So make them all a fixed time of 45. That's kind of as I have experienced so far in my relatively short journey. It is a short journey of podcasting. So for me, for the moment, I've gone down the route, or the route, as you'd say, of it'll be however long I think it needs to be, whatever that might be. So that could be 40 minutes. It could be an hour. Let it be. I don't know if that's the right approach. And with time, I intend to find out. And with time, maybe that will change. But that is a question that everyone needs to ask about their podcast is how long? What is your position that you're going to take? Are you just going to let it be whatever length, so long as you feel that it's got the momentum to take on that length? And that's an important point, because you don't want to make it, it's an hour 20 because it was an hour 20, but the last 40 minutes was really boring. You don't want that either. Yeah. So you got to edit that out. So there's got to be the momentum there. Or do you break it down and you go, great interviews, right? I'm going to do one and part two. Now, there is a podcast where I did break it down into two. Can't remember what it is actually off the top of my head, but because it was so long and because, that's right. It was actually this guy, Dwayne Mutu, who runs esports in New Zealand. And we broke it down just because of the content. It lended itself to be broken down into two. And it was just going to be best part of 2 hours long. So I have done that, but it's definitely a work in progress. And I'm not saying I have the absolute answer, although I would say it probably varies depending on you and who your demographics are that you're targeting to. We always need to remember that.
Yeah.
And I think for some people, maybe that short space of time is important. And then for others, for their audiences, is different. So I guess where I come to is I think it's an individual thing depending on you and your demographics that you're targeting. But that's where I'm at the moment.
I definitely got those two takeaways from you on when we're deciding like how long should our episodes be. I think that you hit like two really good points that I resonate with. One of them is, who is your listener? Who are you trying to attract to the podcast and how long might they want to listen? And the second one was, I think your first one, but the other one that I picked up on is, look, if you have great content, make it that length. If the content is awesome at 50 minutes, it should be 50 minutes. If the content only has 5 minutes of value, make it that 5 minutes of value. And there's no reason to make it any longer because it doesn't serve a purpose once it becomes boring. You cut out those 45 minutes.
Yeah,
I'm thinking about that. And I heard you say that maybe the drive is a consideration. I'll say just from my research that there is not a length that is better.
Yeah.
You mentioned a guy that you didn't quite care for. Joe, we'll call him Joseph Roganis. We'll pretend his name is for now since I'm the one speaking. But you mentioned like his episodes, I think, are often 2 or 3 hours. And to me, I can't listen to anything that long.
Yeah.
Personally, I don't want to listen to just banter. I like to have like a takeaway. And so for me, it's not my style either, but something that adds value and is a little bit entertaining is good. I don't want it to be any much longer than that. So a lot of good points. I'm curious also, and this might be my last question for you besides just taking a moment for you to just pour into the listener, but I'm wondering what made you decide on like the cadence of publishing episodes. Like when I'm looking now, it's kind of pretty much the same day every single week. But when you say that you've been going for about a year and there's 35 episodes, I feel like there might've been a few like skipped weeks as well.
Yeah.
So what made you decide like in the beginning, how often to go and when did you change?
That's a great question. So I think I started actually kind of maybe a little bit earlier, but about this time last year. I think it was a little bit earlier, but it was just before Christmas. And in New Zealand, because obviously our seasons are different, we're coming into summertime, people go on break over Christmas and generally take 2 or 3 weeks off. So I did, I think, maybe 1 or 2 interviews before Christmas and published them. So there was a break over Christmas because I didn't have the content. I was only just starting. So there was a break because of that. And then also too, in the initial stages, I was just kind of, it's like, I guess it's like an oil tanker. Just gradually building up your momentum or a train. You're gradually building up your momentum. So gradually starting to get people booked in for interviews. And also in the beginning too, because we weren't confined by COVID, I was doing a lot of going out and videoing on site for these. So for instance, for one of my Making Sense of Marketing, I went to a guy who repairs alloy wheels. I went to his premises and did the whole thing there. And then there was this guy in New Zealand called Mike Pirro, who's very well known, very successful businessman. I went and met him in a hotel and interviewed him there. So I was doing that sort of stuff, which requires a lot of preparation. So I have a camera crew and we go out and we do that. So it's not a 5-minute thing to do it. So for all those kind of reasons, I was taking longer between publication of interviews. But then over time, I've got more of a rhythm going in terms of having people constantly in the queue to be interviewed. And also with COVID, we've been through various phases of being locked down and confined, so therefore confined. So I haven't been able to go out. So for the last quite a few months, I've been doing all my interviews online through Zoom, or I use StreamYard, but something like that. So they've made them a lot quicker and easier to produce. So the combination of those two factors really have resulted in me progressively shifting from kind of publishing obviously once very intermittently to then maybe once every 2 or 3 weeks to now I've kind of got a bit of steam up, as it were. And for the last few months, I'm consistently doing it every week. And I've wanted to achieve that because I think consistency is important to achieve it and for people to know that, well, every week there's going to be a new publication. Yeah. Now, I will have stuff backed up. I'm just not sure what I'm going to do over the Christmas break. I'll probably maybe give it a break for a couple of weeks, but I will have, like at the moment, I might have published, say, 35, but I've got maybe another 6 interviews that are in the process of being edited and ready for publication. So that's an ongoing thing. So, yeah, but I do think consistency is important. And I think once a week is realistic. The other thing I would say too, you know, and I see this in so many aspects in life, it need not be in podcasts. And a really good example for me was I was at the gym once and there was this young guy, he was only about 19 and that, and he was working in the gym and I was talking to him and he decided he was training every day of the week, 7 days a week. And I'm like, I wouldn't recommend you do that. I said, it's all right for the moment, but you potentially burn yourself out by just doing too much all the time. You know, I very much believe, whatever it is, that you're better to slowly build up than to go out 100 miles an hour on day one. You go out 100 miles a day one, chances are that you're going to lose your steam, lose your energy, and it will just fall away. And you risk actually giving up completely. And I've seen it so many times in life for different things. People go out with too much in the beginning, and then they just hit a wall, and then they give it up completely. If I was to recommend anything, I'd say better to start slow and gradually build up. Get your comfort going, the different levels, and then build. I mean, to publish once a week is quite a commitment, you know, but if I tried to do it on day one, I probably would have just given up and found it too hard. But by just gradually building up, it's made it definitely manageable. So I definitely would suggest that that's a better way to go.
Okay. I also think that because sometimes you'll have an interview that when you find that they're also avid readers and you can do a 50-minute and a 10-minute like back to back for that one person,
yeah,
that it can also be beneficial for you where it's a little less kind of like time consuming because you almost can record like 2 weeks of episodes right, all in one sitting as well. So I think that's good to note also. You mentioned that, well, there's a lot that you mentioned. So number one, I'm curious, you said you had 6 in the queue and that you're going to be editing them. Does that mean you edit your own podcast or do you have a team that does it?
No, at the moment, I do it all myself. I mean,
do you recommend that also? Like if somebody's like new, or do you think we should edit our own, have somebody edit it? What are the considerations? Is it money? Is it time? Is it something else?
Yeah, I think that's a really, really good question. And I think there's a lot of things that you need to take into account. And my view is to edit yourself for a number of reasons. I mean, firstly, financially, doing it yourself saves you some money. Bigger picture, though, is it gives you a chance to really look at what you've done and to take in the content from the person, and also to critique yourself and how it's all unfolded and what you can do better in the future. Now, one of the things I'll give you an example is when I'm recording for just the audio, I will take out all the ums as much as I can. I pretty much take them all out. So one of my challenges is stop saying as much as I can. And when I was speaking to this guest that I had who is into public speaking, but it's one of the things he talks about is the pauses. Don't fill your pauses with ums and ahs. So one of my challenges right now is do exactly that. One of the benefits is less for me to edit by doing that. But in all seriousness, no, I think it gives you good insight into it. And I think too, that when you pass it over, because at some point you do want to pass it over, like, I don't want to keep doing this forever. I want someone else to take over doing all the editing. But when you do, you have a much better understanding of the whole process and what's just all involved, and that it's actually quite a lot. To do it takes a lot of time. Now, for me, I publish on YouTube and I publish, obviously, as a podcast, sound-only podcast. So I edit them twice. So I edit with video and sound, okay? And I will take out things, but I don't like... Sometimes you can get away with it more or not, but I don't like a lot of skipping in the video content. You know, I want it to be as seamless and professional as possible. So I'm not going to take out all the ums and ahs on the video content. And you can get away with things on video you can't get away with if it's just audio. So when I do just the audio, I have to edit it again. Because, for instance, if we've got a visual going on, there might be a long pause. And that's okay because you're seeing things. But if it's just audio, this long pause, that might not be okay. So I look at it from a different perspective when I edit it from a pure audio point of view to when I'm editing it with video and audio.
That's so valuable.
Yeah. And each podcast is the content may be over an hour. So I've got to go through and edit that twice. So there's at least kind of 3 hours worth of editing involved just to produce that for YouTube and to produce that for publication through, I use Buzzsprout on Apple and Spotify and all the other ones I'm on. So yeah, I mean, so it is a bit of work, but now I know when I get to the point of handing this over, I'll have a lot more respect for what they've got to do, a lot more understanding of what to look out for. And hey, look, maybe you might have someone who's an expert and they already know that stuff and that's cool, but it's also good to know yourself. And if I hadn't done that myself, I would not have appreciated the difference between editing, including video, and just editing audio on its own. And I've just learned that from experience, just sitting here with my editing software and just going through it and thinking, oh, these ums and ahs are really getting on my nerves. So I've got to remove those, because if they're getting on my nerves, they're going to get on our listeners' nerves. And these gaps, some of these gaps are just too big. I've got to get rid of them. So yeah, look, I wouldn't change it, but I am looking forward to the day when I can justify having someone else take over it. But I'm definitely pleased I've done it.
Awesome. Paul, thank you so much. I'm at the time where I need to stop the recording. So I just want to say thank you for jumping in and sharing your experiences for everything that you've done. And I know you have a lot more insights, like with marketing, the things that you do and the things that you've learned through hosting your podcast and asking those questions to your guests. So I encourage the listener, if that's what you're looking for, if you're wanting to be better at marketing, if you're looking to grow that, if you want more insights of success and just like understanding what books people are reading that have really impacted their lives, then you'll just jump over to Insights into Success podcast, which the link is already in the show notes. And you could also find the msofmarketing.com link, which is Making Sense of Marketing, by just scrolling down right now as well. So Paul, appreciate you. I'm going to let you go and just let the listener know that we're putting out quite a bit of content. We're doing about 4-ish episodes a week. And all that means to you is if... Here I keep saying, by the way, Paul, that all that means to you is if you'd like to actually listen to the very next episode, it's probably already queued up. So don't go anywhere. Just let your Apple podcast play the very next episode. That'll just be me, you and me connecting where I just pour into your business one-on-one. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon.
That's awesome. Thank you. Good to meet you.
Thank you, Paul. If you're glad that you checked out the podcast today, if you got some value out of this episode, some actionable takeaways, I invite you to do one of three things. A, you could do a written review on Apple. Let us know what you think. Just an honest written review. B, you could share the podcast with a friend of yours who needs it. Or C, at the very least, implement what you've learned to take your business and your podcast to the next level. And I'll see you on the next episode.